And welcome back. Mornings with Dave and Scratty rolling on. It's Western Wisconsin sports leader, of course, WKTY La Crosse, 96.7 FM, 580 AM. Miami 27, New England 20. Last night on Monday Night Football, Jarvis Landry, one of the three touchdowns thrown by Jay Cutler, hauling it in. Jay Cutler had a throwback game. That was a really impressive performance from him. And we'll talk more about the Dolphins coming up later on. And heck, maybe we'll get a little bit of Dolphins talk with CBS Sports Radio's own Amy Lawrence, who airs from 2 to 5 here on the station. Good enough to join us this morning on our 5-star telecom talk and text line. Amy, top of the morning. Thank you very much for joining us. How are you?
You're welcome. I'm good. Getting ready to bust out of town for the next 2.5 weeks. So this will be my couple minutes of standing still for the next 5 or 6 hours.
Well, and I was going to say, I thought you're going to be on the road to D.C. this evening as well for the show. Is that going to be going? Is that going to be going on as well?
Yeah, well, I have to get there. So the show is going on this evening after my niece's Christmas concert. She plays cello.
Very nice.
And I haven't seen her play in person in a few years since I started the schedule that I'm on. And really important for me to get down there. So right now I'm packing, cleaning, then I'll get on the road to D.C., and then after her concert I will do the show from there, yes.
How about Wisconsin? You come back here anytime soon or what?
Actually, I will be there the weekend of the Super Bowl because instead of going to the game in Minneapolis, I am going over to visit my Grammy. And so, yes, I will be.
It'll be
a quiet 48 hours, but I can't be that close. I mean, she's 2.5 hours from the nearest airport,
but I can't
be that close and not drive over and see her. So, yes, that will be a 48-hour jaunt into Wisconsin in early February.
Yeah, that's the perfect time to travel as well. I think the Tourism Bureau is just putting out this new thing of snow tires and tourist information.
Yeah.
So, well,
I don't mind snow. I'm a good New Hampshire girl.
Well, I was going to say, you've got to be pretty used to snow where you're at right now. And as I mentioned, CBS Sports Radio After Hours with Amy Lawrence. She's on with us from 2 to 5 every single morning. We have such a great time listening to your take, Amy, on a number of different sports topics. And we want to jump right in because we understand your time is short. And this morning, you were talking quite a bit about Tom Savage, quarterback for the Houston Texans, and the situation that unfolded on Sunday, in which a referee was standing directly over Tom Savage as he went down, concussed obviously on the play, shook violently as he was having a seizure, and yet was put back into the ballgame. Amy, what are your thoughts on this, and what could the NFL do possibly, or a team do better, to make sure this kind of thing doesn't happen again?
I mean, yeah, they got to do something, right? Just to clarify, we don't know if he had a seizure, unless you know something I don't know.
Well, he looked seized.
But he definitely was shaking, and it looked like it was involuntary movement that he may have been knocked out. All of those things should be scary enough, should be red flags enough that, A, he goes directly to the locker room and doesn't come out until they are darn sure they know what is going on with him, and, B, that it should have been a deterrent for anybody who he encountered coming off the field or anybody who saw him try to walk back on the field 3 minutes later. I mean, that was what happened. He came off the field. He was checked. I'm using my air quotation.
Right.
And in 3 minutes, they decided that he was just fine. And I get that Bill O'Brien's busy on the sidelines trying to figure out the next play. He's not standing right on top of Tom Savage, but there's a referee there. There are other players there. There are people who are supposed to be watching for this very occurrence, which is any type of head trauma or a head injury that deserves a little time to develop. And we keep hearing about delayed symptoms, right? So, he was fine. He didn't show any symptoms till later. Well, then maybe there needs to be a mandatory wait period until these athletes can go back on the field or the court or the ice. It's not like it just happens in football. But yeah, if the NFL is serious about making sure these guys don't suffer long-term effects as much as they can control from hits to the head, well, then they need to clean up this concussion protocol, because right now it's a joke. And how often this season we have talked about players who've gone back on the field. And the point that I was making on my show is that if we can all sit there and scream at the television, recognize that this guy is not right, that, like you talked about, his hands are involuntarily shaking, or that a guy gets up woozy, why is it that people who are standing right next to him can't understand that this is a precaution that needs to be taken? He should have been nowhere near the field again.
It's almost like Mike Shanahan's his coach with RG3, right? I mean, it kind of seems like that. But, Amy, speaking of injuries here, let's talk a little bit about Aaron Rodgers. Now, Packer fans here in Wisconsin, a lot of people excited about the possible return of Aaron Rodgers. I got to tell you, out at the gym this week, everybody's talking about Packers are going to run the table and make the playoffs. Is that realistic or not so much?
I would call it idealistic. I don't know if I would call it realistic. Is it possible? Sure. I mean, anything is possible. We saw what the Packers did last year when they rattled off all those wins in a row after they were below 500 and then ended up making it to the NFC Championship game. But this situation is different because they don't control their own destiny, right? So they got to a point last season where if they won out, they were in. That's all they had to do was win out. But in this particular case, with the Eagles already clinching one playoff spot, in the NFC, you essentially have six teams who are vying for five spots. And then you have the Lions, the Packers, and the Cowboys, who are all at 7-6. So it's tough enough for the Packers to have to deal with potentially the Lions and how that might shake out in terms of a tiebreak or, you know, in their own division in the NFC North. But what about the other teams that are still ahead of them? So they can't just win out and get in. They would need to win out and get some help. So that's the only part that is really different from last year, is that last year they could go out on the field and deliver, and Aaron Rodgers sure did. And boy, I've missed him. I mean, the NFL is not the same without Aaron on the field every weekend. Even casual fans know to tune in to Aaron Rodgers. But this season's different, and it's not so much because they have not taken care of business, because they have. I mean, they've gotten Brett Hundley to the point where he can help them win back-to-back games in overtime, right? And their defense has played better. They've had a bunch of injuries. They've navigated all of them. It's just that they're not in charge of how this goes now because there's a log jam ahead of them.
Yeah, again, we're on here with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio's Amy Lawrence, After Hours, 2 to 5, right here on WKTY. Amy, want to change gears because we're up against it here, and I know you've got to go, and thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning. Like to talk a little bit about the Giancarlo Stanton trade to the New York Yankees for Starlin Castro and a couple of assembled parts to be named later.
And a bag of peanuts.
Right. Was this Derek Jeter's greatest move as a Yankee? Sending one of his Marlins to the Yankees.
As much as that is a great line, let's not let the truth get in the way of a good rant, right? Yeah. I mean, certainly it raises eyebrows. But I love the fact that we've got the background now. Derek Jeter actually gave Giancarlo Stanton an ultimatum and said, you can either be a Marlin for life, meaning a punishment,
right,
like prison, or you can accept a trade somewhere else. And Stanton called his bluff and said, no, I'm staying here. I'm not going to the Cardinals. I'm not going to the Giants. Those are really high asking prices and deals that those two teams had worked out with Jeter, even though Stanton had the power to veto, which he did. And then along come the Yankees in the last hour, and they had been talking. Certainly, when the word gets out that Stanton's only going to accept a trade to two different places, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of leaked out that he was only going to go to New York or Los Angeles. Well, then it's really difficult to jack up the price. And as it turns out, they got him for almost nothing. So if you're Brian Cashman, you can't not do this deal. And I think in the case of the Yankees, well, it certainly looks like they were colluding with Derek Jeter. The fact is, Jeter had no choice. It was one or the other, because Stanton was only going to go to L.A. or New York.
Amy, I wanted to ask you real quick, too, here about college football. The Wisconsin Badgers, all season long, they kept on going along. And, you know, Badger fans around here, and I'm not a Badger homer, so I've been going back and forth with Badger fans, but not a Badger homer. I always said I'm not real sure that they are one of the best teams in the country, probably not worthy of a playoff spot. How good do you think this Badger football team is?
I think they're solid. I think they're steady Eddie. I think that they do what they do well. It's not flashy. It reminds me more of the 3 yards in a cloud of dust, or maybe in the case of Wisconsin snow, 3 yards in a cloud of snow.
Right.
So they're not flashy. And I understand that the committee is not supposed to be judging on flash. Certainly they didn't with Alabama, mm-hmm. because Alabama is not the type of team that we've seen in the past where they can beat teams up and down the field. They're a little more of the physical kind of grinded out team. But Wisconsin, because of their schedule, had no choice but to win the Big Ten. I was rooting for them just because it would have been a little more cut and dried, and it's nice to have fresh blood, so to speak, in the college football playoff. It's just that this is not the kind of team that bludgeons opponents to death. And even when they do get this big margin of victory, which, again, the committee's not supposed to consider, it's plotting maybe too strong, but it's methodical, it's efficient. You know, it's not going to dazzle you. We're not talking about Aaron Rodgers running the Wisconsin Badgers offense. You know what I'm saying?
No. If anything, it's much like Joe Webb running the offense for the Buffalo Bills, if you were a Wisconsin Badger fan. Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio Zone, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, host. Check her out 2 to 5, and you, of course, can follow her on Twitter at A-Law Radio, and you've got the show Twitter feed, which I believe is at After Hours. Is that correct?
Look at you. You know my social media better than I do.
Boom. There it is. Oh, now, see, I just stole that from you. I can't even do boom, but I'm going to let you off
do
and say,
boom, no.
Thanks very much, Amy. It's been an absolute pleasure hanging out with you this morning. Have a great holiday season, and we'll look forward to hearing you again tonight on WKTY.
Awesome. Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry
Thank
Christmas.
You.
Merry Christmas.